Welcome to Financial Repression Authority's Roundtable Insight, where the best fund managers, economists, and industry leaders discuss the key investment issues and challenges in the current macroeconomic environment.
Hi, welcome to FRA's Roundtable Insight. This is Richard Benulli. Today we have Dan Habib. He's been involved in the mortgage industry for over 15 years. He was an integral part of Mortgage Market Guide, where he created and managed the sales team and help grow their subscriber base. Dan later worked for Morgan Stanley as a financial advisor, where he was a member of the number one ranked Barron's financial advisory team in New Jersey. He's held his Series 7, 63, 65, 31, and life and health insurance licenses. He's also one of the founders of MBS Highway and has been instrumental in its significant growth during the past 4 years as a senior market analyst. Welcome, Dan.
Hey, thanks for having me, Richard.
Just was wondering, could you give us some background on MBS Highway and Mortgage Market Guide, what they are, what type of services you offer?
Yeah, of course. So Mortgage Market Guide was kind of the original company that my father Barry and myself had started, and that we had sold that company, and we are now running MBS Highway here, which we created about 4 years ago, but a similar principle. Really, it's a service for mortgage professionals where we try to help educate them each and every day, help them close more opportunities that they're given, and also gain and protect new and current referral relationships. And we do that by really breaking down what's happening in the market for them each day, breaking down the economic reports and as that pertains to the mortgage industry and interest rates. And we also really help them with timing of locking and floating their loans to avoid costly reprices or get better interest rates for their customers. And we have a bunch of proprietary tools on the site and some really great real estate data that I think really helps our customers showcase and quantify the opportunity that exists in homeownership today. And we really try to help really kind of give some insights and combat a lot of the negativity that you see in the media, especially as it pertains to, you know, the health of the housing market and, you know, some of these economic reports that come out. You know, it's our view that we think the media really just kind of doesn't really understand it. And, you know, if you see all these reports and all these articles on CNBC all the time about how, you know, it's more expensive to buy than rent in every state in the United States. And, you know, you have guys like Greg Cardone, who was just on a video on CNBC, who had said that you have no business owning a home unless you have $20 million in the bank. And, you know, different things like that, which, okay, you know, ultimately our customers are viewing and seeing. And, you know, in a marketplace where you have really tight inventory, our customers are seeing individuals looking to buy a home. And, you know, in a marketplace where you have really tight inventory, you know, across most of the country, and, you know, these customers aren't getting a lot of bargains because of that. You know, a lot of times they have to come in at full asking price or maybe several thousand dollars above, and they watch this negative media. It's no wonder why it's easy for them to maybe flake out and maybe go ahead and rent, but ultimately it may not be the best decision for them. So we help to really kind of get to the truth and meet behind the strength in the housing market and help explain that to our customers so they can explain it to theirs.
Can you help us provide insight into that? So you mentioned the mainstream media doesn't have that sort of more accurate view of what's happening. What is the current state of U.S. housing market?
So we think the housing market is strong. You know, a lot of times, you know, people have concerns. You know, we've seen some good appreciation. Are we in bubble-like conditions? Well, you know, if you look at the facts, if we look back, you know, during the housing bubble years, 06 to 08 or so, you know, we had an oversupply in the market. We had nearly double the amount of inventory levels that we have currently. So certainly not seeing an oversupply in the market from that dynamic. And when you look at the supply, the demand side, the main demand remains extremely strong. You know, one of the kind of metrics that we look at, we like to look at demographics. And, you know, one of the most famous guys who looked at demographics was Lee Iacocca, you know, and he was very famous. He worked for Ford, and he saw that all these baby boomers were getting older and they needed to have a kind of stylish car. And sure enough, he created the Mustang, ended up being the most popular car for Ford at the time and was their most profitable. So it's important to look at demographics. And when we look at the demographics, Zillow says that the median age of a first-time home buyer is 33 years old. So if we take a look at the birth tables and we go back 33 years ago, we could see where the birth rates were. And that was in about 1984 or so. And then you can see that, you can see what's happened. The next 9 years, there was a huge surge in births each year, greater than the previous year. So what that's telling us is that over the next 8 years, you're going to see a greater and greater and greater crop of individuals turning 33 and either coming into the housing market to either buy or rent. So we're going to see strong demand, I think, for the next 8 years. And then it doesn't fall off a cliff after that. It plateaus at some of the highest levels since the baby boomers. So we think that we're going to see some really strong demand. Supply is tight. Obviously, the first law of economics you learn is, tight supply, strong demand. It's going to be very supportive of home prices. But also, we think that the kind of dynamics that we're seeing in place are going to persist because builders have a lot of challenges out there right now. They're highly regulated. They're having a hard time finding labor. And, lenders just aren't lending to them on spec like they used to. It used to kind of be like, build it and they will come. But, they got burned in the past. So we think that the dynamics are going to stay in place. We're going to have some tight supply. You're going to have really strong demand. And, the media really, I think, focuses on the amount of sales. Now, obviously, if we look at the most recent reports that just came out, we had existing home sales and new home sales. And, both of those were decent reports. Of course, we're not seeing the amount of sales that we saw, 10 years ago. But we're still seeing sales up on new home sales. I believe they were up like 9.1% on a year-over-year basis. And that's with really tight supply. So, if there was more inventory out there, I think there'd be more sales. But I think that the dynamics are still in place for a very strong and healthy housing market.
And is it localized? Like, do you see differences, say, between what's happening in Miami, New York versus perhaps less volatile markets, that have appreciated in the Midwest?
Yeah, well, certainly is localized. Overall, if we were to look at, as a whole in the U.S., appreciation, depending on which report you're looking at, it's been about 6.5 to 6.9% over the past year, and forecasted for it to be about 5.2 to 5.5%, depending on what you're looking at as a nation for the year going forward. Of course, that can vary in different markets. What's funny is that it seems like the markets that are doing the best are the ones that have legalized marijuana, believe it or not.
Okay.
Portland and Seattle and Colorado, Denver, those are actually leading the way with appreciation over the last year.
Wow.
So they've been pretty hot.
Yeah. And is there like a generational change, or like what about the millennials? We hear stories where they just want to rent, or do they want to buy houses at some point, maybe because they're strapped with debt initially, but do they have the intention and the desire?
I believe they do. If you take I think obviously the millennials are a different generation, but if we look at kind of like a normal life cycle, right? I mean, if we look many years ago, it was pretty normal for an individual to kind of get out of high school, get married, and start a family and have kids and buy a home. And that happened much earlier. People were getting married in their 20s, having kids, and now it's just kind of moved back. Obviously life expectancy's got a little bit longer too, but millennials are taking longer to do things. They're not going to be like, the guys in Step Brothers, 40 years old, living in their parents' basement. I think they still do have a want to buy a home, but I think that, they're just taking a little bit longer to do so. So I think there's definitely some pent-up demand there for sure.
I see. What about the effect of interest rates on the housing market? How do you see that?
I think interest rates are, I think right now is a great time to buy a home. Interest rates, I think, are, still really attractive. Interest rates on a 30-year fixed, anywhere probably between about, 4.25% and 4.5% right now. And, if we were to look, it's funny. Someone might say, oh, it's high. The average interest rate over the last like 45 years is 8.25%. So we're still at really attractive levels. And I think now is the time to buy because, if we take a look at the Fed, we know from the Fed's latest meetings and their statements that they want to start what Peter Bookbar likes to call quantitative tightening, where they're going to start unraveling their balance sheet. And they're going to do it in a measured pace where they're going to let $4 billion in mortgage bonds and $6 billion in treasuries kind of roll off their balance sheet each month and then kind of revisit it each quarter and I think increase it by those same amounts. And once they do that, the Fed's the biggest buyer of mortgage bonds and treasuries. So once you have the biggest buyer starting to back out a little bit, I think that rates are eventually, going to have to start to move up towards the end of the year if they start doing this in September or announcing in September. So, I don't think rates are going to get crazy. Could they go up by 0.5% or so once the Fed starts doing this? Yeah. So I think now is really a good time to buy a home.
And as you see the rates going higher, would that have a dampening or a negative effect on the housing market?
I don't think it's going to affect purchase business too much, to be honest with you. But obviously refinances, of course, what's interesting is if you look at the most recent mortgage application data that we got just actually this morning, it shows that refinances, just rates are up about 0.5% from this, or 50 basis points from this time last year. And refinances are down 41%. So obviously it has a big impact on refinances. And if rates go up another 0.5%, of course, that's going to have an impact further on refis. But I think the purchase market's very strong.
And in terms of Fed policy, the Federal Reserve on interest rates, how do you see that playing out? Do you think they'll at what point do they stop raising rates is the big question.
Well, I think that the Fed wants to get one more hike in December. I think in September, I see them, starting the announcement of their quantitative tightening, pulling off their balance sheet a bit. And I think in December, so long as, we kind of see things remain the way they are now, I think they'll want to hike one more time in December. And then I think they'll probably pause a bit until maybe mid-next year. I think it's going to depend on the data, obviously. The jobs data, I think, has been sufficient for what they want to do. I think that inflation has been obviously a little bit stubbornly low. If we look at the most recent data from this morning, or yesterday, it was the personal consumption expenditures came out. And, that's the Fed's favored measure of inflation. And that core rate showed only 1.5%, obviously below the 2% that they're looking for. We think that the consumer price index is a better measure because it has a heavier weighting towards the cost to put a roof over your head, as well as out-of-pocket medical expenses. So I think it shows true inflation a lot better. But, for whatever reason it is, the Fed likes to focus on the PCE. But that has been stubbornly low. And I also think that the Fed's kind of waiting for, I think the Fed's expecting to see, with the labor market tightening, they're expecting to see some wage pressure at inflation, which we haven't really seen yet either. But maybe we'll start to see that coming. Tomorrow we're going to be getting the jobs report. On Friday, we're going to be getting the jobs report, which is obviously going to be very important for both the stock and bond markets. Certainly could have a big impact depending on how that comes out. We did get the ADP report today, which is about in line with expectations. I believe it was about 178,000 jobs were created last month. So decent number, I think a strong enough number for the Fed. But we'll have to see how that BLS report comes out. And really, I want to be paying close attention to that average hourly earnings number to see if we're seeing any wage pressure inflation there. But like I said, I think the Fed is going to try to get one more hike in this year and then kind of see some of the data that comes out from there.
Do you think there's a look at the Federal Reserve's policy from the perspective of they're raising interest rates up to a point where it doesn't go higher than the 10-year Treasury bond yield, because at some point that could turn the yield curve into an inverted yield curve, potential recession type of thing.
Yeah, of course. The 10-2 spread is something that we actually have on our site too for our subscribers to as a good recession indicator. It's been pretty accurate one. I think the Fed's going to be careful. I think that, they've obviously done this whole QE experiment for many years, and I don't think that they're going to want to raise rates too quickly to, send the economy into a tailspin.
And what about the actual purchasing power of a home? Just wondering your thoughts on that. A lot of our commentators have mention a distinction between nominal terms and real terms. so that if you take the price of a house today and divide by, you know, how many cups of coffee you can buy today versus how many cups of coffee you can buy in the future, or, you know, some measure of inflation, do you see the actual purchasing power of a home as increasing nominally and in real terms, or just perhaps nominally?
I think I see it increasing in real terms. I mean, I think that inflation's going to remain pretty low. I'm not too worried about it getting too out of hand. And I mean, any of the reports that, you know, we're looking at, and we have some great real estate data for, you know, every kind of metro area in the country. And, you know, what I'm seeing out there is some really strong appreciation forecasts. You know, I think that it's going to have some really strong power.
And just your thoughts on the political situation in the U.S., how is that affecting the housing market, interest rates, and the overall financial markets?
Well, I think that initially the financial markets obviously got a really nice push from the new administration. And, you know, we've seen the stock market. The stock market just has been on some tear. It's been unbelievable. You know, Dow hitting 22,000 today. And, you know, even though the administration has been unsuccessful in, you know, passing this repeal, and, you know, we'll see how they do on taxes, you know, I guess some would argue that, you know, the markets are moving higher, maybe not so much based on Trump anymore, but on the strength of stocks and the earnings that we've been seeing and some of the fundamentals. But, you know, I mean, I'd love to see some of the stuff from Dodd-Frank, you know, kind of get loosened up a little bit. And I think that could have a good impact on the housing market. But, you know, again, it's been a little disappointing to see really nothing get kind of passed through, you know, so far.
Just the overall, your view of the housing market for the next 5 to 10 years?
Like I said before, I think the housing market's going to remain very strong. I think we're going to see some really strong appreciation levels. I think that, you know, one of the things that I think has been encouraging is that if you look over the last several years, we've seen some really good levels of appreciation. And, you know, the media has been negative on the housing market for the last 5-6 years. And boy, you would have missed a great opportunity. But, you know, one of the things I think the media gets wrong is affordability. A lot of times, you know, we have great affordability data for every metro area here in the country. And what I've seen is that for most markets, affordability has remained pretty level. And I think the media makes the mistake of thinking that if a home price goes up, automatically affordability has to go down. But there's obviously a couple other things that go into that number. Obviously, it's the home price, but it's also interest rates. It's also wages and jobs. And, you know, if we were to use the media's kind of explanation, well, that would mean that if home prices went down, all of a sudden affordability has to go up. But what happens if interest rates skyrocket? What happens if you lose your job? Did that home get more or less affordable? Obviously less affordable. So I think we've been seeing homes are still relatively very affordable. I think the dynamics of tight inventory are going to persist. I think demand is going to remain strong. And I think it's going to be a recipe for a really strong housing market for years to come. Not really seeing any kind of, you know, conditions that would worry me, like any bubble-like conditions. And, you know, historically, you know, even if, you know, there's talks of recessions and stuff, if we were to look at the last 10 recessions from World War II, you know, 9 out of the last 10 of them, housing's actually done really well. And, you know, obviously the last one, housing prices actually started going down a little bit before the recession. And really it was more like the housing bubble, I think, kind of led us into the recession and not vice versa. So, you know, I think that housing is going to be very strong for the years to come.
That's a great insight overall, the discussion, and we appreciate very much having you on the show, Dan.
Thank you so much for having me.
The FRA Roundtable Insight Show is for informational and educational purposes only and should not be considered as a solicitation or offer to purchase or sell any securities. The investments, investment strategies, and investment philosophies discussed or presented on the show each involve their own unique risk factors, which are not discussed on the show. Any discussions among the panel participants or responses to listener inquiries are based on the personal opinions of the panel participants and do not take into consideration the listener's suitability, objectives, or risk tolerance. Please be advised that you invest or speculate at your own risk.